you know, I think it's just so wonderful that we worship a God who speaks and who cares, don't you think? Yeah, and last week Pastor Steve was talking about how we need to go to Him directly. Yeah, because our God wants to be heard directly. Our God wants to communicate directly. And as He was speaking last week, I was thinking about this time that I was in Morocco with my two friends. So many, many years back when I was still a student, my friends and I, a female friend and a male friend, we were backpacking. We backpacked through Spain down this way to Morocco and went back up that way. So, and we met people and we would have like different conversations. Most of the time we would be in a cafe having conversations with men because women, local women, because of the culture, don't generally, mix around with men in the culture. So, and the conversation would go something like this. So I would be sitting here, and my female friend would be here, and my male friend would be here, and the other, the local men would be sitting there. And then they would do something like this. They would ask my friend here, "What is your friend's name?" And my friend would say, "Oh, this is so-and-so, and this is so-and-so." And then they would continue, "So, does your two friends, do they like Moroccan food?" My friend's like, "Do you like Moroccan food?" Then I was like, yeah. And so it would go on and on that way, right? So, but all this time, my friend and I were like, I mean, then it was like, "Dude, we're here. Like, ask us, right? I mean, ask us. We're sitting right here." So I think in the same way, God loves being approached and heard directly because He is a personal God and He cares deeply about you. But you know, God also speaks to us corporately because He has important things to tell us. He wants to tell us how to be a strong body. What can we do as a body in this world? Maybe He has something to tell us about what we can do as a body of Christ in Hong Kong during this season of unrest. Just maybe. You know, I know I've said this many times, but I'm going to say this again just because it's so important. Although Jesus and God has gone up to heaven, He continues to guide us, to guide His church, to do His will here on earth through the Holy Spirit. But how? How do we hear His guidance? Do you know, church, that we can actually hear the Spirit's guidance for us as a body through spiritual gifts? Let's pray. Holy Spirit, come. We need you. We need you. We need you and we need you. We need you on every level. We need you to tell us how to be a body. We need you to tell us what to do as a body. We cannot do anything without you. Come and speak today. Come and teach us what you want us to hear. Amen. I just want a show of hands if you've heard of spiritual gifts. Okay, good. Do you know your spiritual gift? If you do, you can. Okay, good. We've got work to do there. Okay, so how do we hear the Spirit through our spiritual gifts? That's supposed to be my bullet point one, hearing the Spirit through our spiritual gifts. So we need to know what spiritual gifts are first, right, in order to know how the Spirit works through that and how we hear the Spirit. So most people, when you say spiritual gifts, they immediately think, oh, the test that I did maybe 10 years ago, or the inventory, you know, that you check off, or just a list that goes something like this, apostleship, evangelism, discernment, faith, giving, healing, and so on. But what, church, what makes these gifts spiritual? How are they connected to our natural gifts? Do our natural gifts become spiritual gifts when we exercise them in a spiritual environment like the church? Or do they become spiritual when we use them in our spiritual life? You know, so the passage that Sean just read is from a letter written by the Apostle Paul to his church in Corinth. He received news that this church was having some trouble. They were using their spiritual gifts to show off their spirituality and sometimes to one up another brother or sister. Look at me. Look at the gift I have. Look at the impressive results that it brings. I'm good. And so Paul wanted to remind them, hey, this is not what spiritual gifts are all about. I need you to turn to your bulletin and look at verse 4. Okay, now, there are different gifts, but the same Spirit. So you underline different gifts. And verse 5, and there are different ministries, but the same Lord. And verse 6, and there are different results, but the same God who produces all of them in everyone. And 7, to each person, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the benefit of all. Underline manifestation of the Spirit and for the benefit of all. So Paul is using two different terms to refer to the same thing. Different gifts, manifestation of the Spirit. The gift that you've been given is a manifestation of the Spirit's activity or a disclosure of the Spirit's activity in our midst. Spiritual gifts are spiritual with a big S. Do you see the difference it makes? The Holy Spirit himself is active and working and bringing results in the body. Verse 6 says different results, but God who produces all of them. So Paul is saying, there you go, there's nothing to boast about. Because it's the Spirit who is at work when you use your spiritual gift. Spiritual gifts are not exactly the same as natural abilities or trained skills, although both are from God and both can be used for the kingdom. Spiritual gifts are at the absolute discretion of the Holy Spirit, whereas natural gifts are, or trained skills are more embedded in our systems, like part of the hardware. The Holy Spirit can act in any way he wants to, any way he deems fit. But the Holy Spirit can also empower your natural ability. And we've seen that many times. Music playing. Now, why do I want to highlight the difference? Because our natural abilities could never be enough for the redemptive work of Jesus in the world. Our natural abilities could not make us one body. So, think about the disciples that Jesus had, right? A huge repertoire, huge range of natural talents and career skills. And they even spent 3 years with Jesus. Surely, they had experience and seen much, right? But Jesus said, before you go and do what I've asked you to do, wait for the power from on high. You need the Spirit to guide you and to empower you. Because, and here is a quote that I have to read to you because we don't have that. Because, this is a quote by Richard Foster. Spiritual gifts are not the same as natural talents, though they sometimes fit together with them. The sign of the presence of the charismata, the spiritual gifts, is that the effect of one's actions greatly exceeds the input of the human beings. In other words, if we knew only what the human being put in, we could not imagine the outcome. The results are always incommensurate to our efforts. It is, you see, a work of the Spirit. Incommensurate, disproportionate, unequal. 1 + 1 gives you more than 2. Let's take a moment to ponder how much of what we do for God comes out of our own striving. How much have we lived into the Spirit-guided and Spirit-manifesting life which we have been called to? Okay, so that is the technical part, okay? I'm going to tell you a story now, okay, about my spiritual gift journey, how the Spirit spoke through that gift to help the body. Can I? Do you want to hear that? Yeah, okay. So some of you know this, that I had an encounter with the Holy Spirit at 13, and I was delivered from the bondage of being dedicated to Gunyam, Guanyin. And shortly after that, I found that I was sensitive to certain things, impressions, and I would literally feel the presence of evil in certain places. And I was also sensitive to voices or agendas masquerading as God's voice or God's agendas. I didn't know what to do with those impressions because I didn't know what was happening. So I talked to people I trusted in the church, and they told me, "Ah, I think you have a spiritual gift of discernment." What's that? But anyway, so, you know, I was encouraged to exercise the gift. And there was this time, I was part of a fellowship group, and there was this person who approached us and wanted to help out with the leadership. And this person was very impressive in many ways, you know, whether in terms of credentials, success in his day job, and he was so absolutely knowledgeable about the Bible. But for me, there was something in here that just did not feel right, you know, like, So I finally plucked up the courage to say to the leadership, "You know what, I really cannot articulate this, but something just doesn't feel right here, please pray." And long story short, this person did not join the leadership of the group in the end, but it was not until 6 months later that we found out he was on the leadership of a cult. You might think, "Ah, Brenda's a pastor, that's why God told her all those things." But I was not a pastor then. I had not gone to seminary. I barely had enough work experience to make me feel like, "Oh, I have any trained skills." I was not experienced in my faith, and yet God used me through the gifting of the Holy Spirit. Now, this is not to say that I didn't have to grow in my use of spiritual gift, my gift, but what I'm trying to say is, if you're a believer, the Holy Spirit has gifted you. It doesn't matter whether you've been a Christian for one day or 10 years. You don't need special credentials or qualifications. The only requirement is that you're a follower of Jesus. And your gift doesn't have to look like your friend's gift. Although at one point, I wish I could lead worship, but sorry. So spiritual gifts come in many forms. You know, if you were here when Ali was here 2 weeks ago, anyone here when Ali was? Right, yeah, okay. So you would have heard of her story of an amazing hugger with a great gift of mercy in her church. I don't know about you, but there have been so many times in my life where people with great gifts of mercy and encouragement came around me and comforted me and loved on me. You know, people have walked across from the room to me and said, "You know, I don't know what's going on in your life, but I feel like you really need a hug now." And the person would give me a hug and would literally feel the Holy Spirit minister deep into my heart in that hug. Definitely an empowered hug. Was that not Jesus speaking to me through the Holy Spirit? "I see you, child, and I know what you're going through, and I am with you." We need every one of your gifts to make the body richer and stronger, because the Spirit is best heard through the diverse gifts in the one body of Christ. Bullet point number two, hearing the Spirit through diversity. The Spirit has given different gifts to the church. So I'm not going to read it out, but you can refer to verse 8 on your bulletin, all the way to verse 10. By the way, this is not exhaustive, okay? So not one believer has all the gifts, yet all the gifts are important, because the Spirit's activities are many, and we discern the Spirit's guidance best when the different gifts in the body are given room to find expression. So we don't want to amputate any part of the body, because then it will not be whole. Then we wouldn't be able to hear the Spirit holistically. So imagine, just imagine with me, right? Okay, I don't have any visual here. Imagine a body with one leg amputated, okay? So the eyes are there, and the eyes see the enemies coming and tell the legs, "Run, run, run." It's harder to run, right, with one leg. And the ears cannot say to the legs, "Hey, you deaf or what? Why are you so insensitive? Couldn't you hear the enemies approaching? Basically, why aren't you like me?" Jesus did not design each Christian, okay, Brenda, to be a self-contained and self-sufficient Christian with a comprehensive set of gifts. Different gifts are designed to work together. Right here at Community Church, just a couple of weeks ago, I witnessed a beautiful coming together of spiritual gifts. Someone in our midst was, probably still is, going through a hard season in life. And there was this person with a gift of exhortation telling the person suffering the spiritual benefits of hardship. You're going to grow in this. Your faith will mature. While another person with this gift of mercy, encouragement, says, brings sympathy and comfort. Hey, are you all right? Do you need a hug now? One did not say to the other, oh, you need to feel more. Or, oh, you cannot be so soft. Both are needed. They work together to help the person suffering see that there is hope in the hardship and comfort for endurance. Gifts work together. It's ultimately the Spirit speaking both hope and comfort to this one person. And there was this brother in an underground church who shared this experience with me. We often have a spy at our meetings, but God often gives us special insight and we would know about this person, this spy. And the person teaching the word in the meeting would need special wisdom to know how to present the teaching sensitively. And God would give us that wisdom. You have the gift of discernment, the gift of wisdom, the gift of teaching coming together. And then there is this other church whose leaders have been taken away from them in prison. And they were facing severe discouragement and self-blame because they felt like they had not protected their leaders well. They felt lost and unable to go on doing the things that the Lord had called them to do. But during a gathering one day, someone gave a beautiful word of encouragement to the body, followed by a prophetic word about what was to come. This little church was strengthened from within and was able to continue in their mission. You see, Jesus did not leave his followers orphans in this world. He did not say, okay, go and set up church and do the Great Commission, and I'll see you later when I come back. He did not say that. He said, I'm with you, plural, always. Sometimes we are so used to thinking individualistically, we forget that it's you, plural. I'm with you, plural, always. He said, the Holy Spirit will make known to you all what's on my mind and what's in my heart. And the Holy Spirit will teach you all how to be church. And he will help you all, my body, to reveal the Father's heart in the world, in Hong Kong. Jesus knows what his church needs. Jesus knows the kind of threats the church will face. And Jesus knows how the church needs to be strengthened. And the Holy Spirit guides accordingly. Jesus knows what we need here at Community Church. At this time, in this season, in this place called Hong Kong. And he knows how best we can reveal the Father's heart at this time, in this season, in Hong Kong. And so we need to hear the Spirit's corporate guidance to the body of Christ. And each of you here, I'm trying to pick out individual faces, each of you here has a very important part to play. We need all your diverse gifts to hear the various aspects of the Spirit's leading and to check one another's blind spots and to build up the body of Christ. And finally, bullet point three, hearing the Spirit in love. So armed with my newfound spiritual gift of discernment, I was eager and excited and couldn't wait to use my gift to save the world. After a few positive experiences with many affirmations, I was just ready to go. And I think I became a little callous in my attitude. And so there was this time I felt that a certain Christian, a Christian parachurch organization was grieving the heart of God by overly focusing on something which was a good thing in itself, but it was so good that God was probably not needed anymore. And so I communicated my discernment in an exhortatory way, you know. Actually, it was more like a self-righteous way, but see, exhortation sounds biblical, right? And godly. So yeah. So, but what I didn't know then was that they already knew that something was wrong and they couldn't quite put their finger on it. And they had been feeling down and discouraged. And my word to them, although right in substance or partially right, was not right in form. Okay, and it only made them sink deeper and deeper into more guilt and shame. I had distorted the voice of God in the process. Because it is not in the character of God to shame and condemn. To convict, yes. Even to rebuke, but not to shame and condemn. And so I apologize. I needed a team of brothers and sisters with great gifts of encouragement and mercy to come alongside me to help them hear as the Spirit intended His voice to be heard in love. So then God's exhortation to them became life-giving, and people who were gifted by the Holy Spirit to make organizational changes went on to help the organization align itself more with the heart of God. So you know the passage, love passage? It's on here, your preparatory verse. Love is patient, love is kind, love does not boast, it's not proud, it does not dishonor others. Everybody knows that? Yeah, I see many nods. See, this chapter, it's chapter 13, and it's a sandwich chapter. So before that, chapter 12 talks about spiritual gifts. After that, chapter 14, it also talks about spiritual gifts. So while this love passage contains some timeless truths about love that we like to use, right, Paul actually wrote this in the context of the use of spiritual gifts. If the exercise of our spiritual gifts is about the activities of the Holy Spirit in our midst, it must look like the Holy Spirit, don't you think? The Holy Spirit, who is God. And God is patient, God is kind, God is not self-seeking, God is not easily angered, God is gentle and compassionate. When I exercise my gift in love, it means that I don't have to be the star. And I'm not seeking my own interests, my own agenda. I seek the well-being of my brothers and sisters. And this encourages the expression of the diverse gifts in the body. When all the gifts of the body are being used in love, there is power, there is unity. And in unity, we hear the Spirit's voice best. Let me end with a quote. Craig Keener, New Testament scholar. Spiritual power without love is dangerous. But love without some degree of spiritual power to carry forth its designs is impotent. Impotent means unable to take effective action. So, church, the Spirit continues to guide through diversity in power and in love for our sake and for the sake of the world. And we need to hear that. Jesus knows what we need at this time, in this season, for our church, for the world, for Hong Kong. Perhaps we need a gift to do the impossible. A gift of faith to do the impossible or to be the impossible. Perhaps we need to hear a word of encouragement. Or maybe we need a special insight from the Spirit. Or maybe we need to see healing happen like never before. I don't know what we need exactly, but Jesus does. And He tells us through the Holy Spirit, through it shall you hear. Can you imagine, church, the impact if the gifts that the Spirit gives each of us function in the way that they were designed to? Are you willing to help us hear the Spirit through your gift? And if you don't know your gift, would you like us to help you discern what that might be? You know, my church family, my brothers and sisters, it is my hope, it is really my hope that we hunger for more of God in our midst. hungry for more of the Spirit's activities in our midst. Hungry to be agents of God to one another. And as agent together to Hong Kong and the world. I'm going to invite us to pray together. And could I invite you to stand, actually? Could I please invite you to stand? And if you're hungry for more of the Spirit's work, feel free to just reach out. Or if you just want to have the desire to be hungry, feel free to reach out and to say, I want that. Jesus, we thank you. We thank you that you have not left us alone. We thank you that you've called us to this beautiful mission of being church together, of living in a community that is full of love and encouragement and strengthening. And also, you call us to be to this mission of being your face to the world, being your hands and feet to the world. We thank you for all that. And we also thank you that you have given us the help to do that. And we acknowledge right now that we need your help. Jesus, we want to say sorry if we haven't been too cognizant of that fact that we need your help. Sorry if we've run around trying to make things happen on our own. And sorry, Lord, if you've made your gifting known to me and I've kind of just neglected it. Jesus, we need you. So come. Come and light the fire in our hearts. Come and help us to love one another more deeply. And come and help us to be more effective in what we do for you in the community and in Hong Kong. And Jesus, we want to pray for Hong Kong, specifically right now. We can't do this without you. We can't be effective without you. We cannot speak the truth without you. We cannot counsel other people without you. We don't have the wisdom. We don't know what to say sometimes. For whatever we say, sometimes we just... People will come back to us and say, hey, you shouldn't say this or you shouldn't say that. But Lord Jesus, anchor us in you and your wisdom and help us to be your face to this place, whether it's through encouragement or through active service or just through a word of wisdom. Come, Jesus, pour your Spirit out. We want to hear you. Amen.